It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, to break down, we wanted to change things up this week, because we have football on Saturday, man! It is time to rock it! We got a beautiful two-gamer for this DFS slate for Saturday. Always a good time when you have football before Sunday rolls around. So Adam and I wanted to kind of change things up a little bit. We scrapped the injury situations to monitor episode, decided we would drop into this two-gamer, break this all down, how you attack this two-game DFS slate. Adam, what's going on, man?
Chilling, man. Nice Thursday night, watching the end of this Thursday night game. And, yeah, like, Saturday, it's nice little slate of games. Like you said, two games. We got some team in upstate New York that's playing.
Yeah, a bunch of bums. They're heading to Denver. It's going to be interesting to talk about that one.
Dude, it's... So the last time the Bills won the AFC East, I was 2 years old.
I was gonna even ask you if you were alive.
Yeah, man, okay. 1995. I was 2 years old, and that's what the Bills have to play for on Saturday night. Then we got it's gonna be a great day for me just because I get to watch the Bills and I get to watch the best receiver in the NFL after that. Well, and the second best receiver in the NFL before that.
So. I was gonna say, were you referencing Diggs?
Right, who knows at this point? But I actually really am. I think Monday or Tuesday when I looked at the schedule and I was like, oh yeah, there's Saturday games. Like there always are the week before Christmas. So, yeah, it's an exciting time.
Dude, it's going to be great, man. I think this is two fantastic games to kind of break down. So let's hop into it, man. Buffalo Bills are heading to play the Broncos. This game is going to be in Denver. The over-under is set at 49.5. Bills are favored by 6. Adam, tell me your thoughts here.
So we got John Brown was activated off or as designated to be activated off IR, but with the combination of him potentially being his first week back, and he has a sickle cell trait going into Denver, which is obviously a concern. Sean McDermott said on Thursday that he's already been ruled out, so John Brown won't be back, but it should still be a good day for Josh Allen and company. I mean, this Denver secondary, outside of their safeties Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson, it's just absolutely gutted. They've been missing guys all year. Bryce Callahan and now AJ Boye has been suspended. It's just, I think they only have one starter from the start of the season that's available. So I don't see how they cover Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley and Gabriel Davis with how they're playing right now. The one thing I'll say is that Denver, like Vic Fangio, mixes up a lot of coverages. He'll play a lot of zone. He'll play a lot of man. So he's going to give Josh Allen a bunch of different looks, but. With Buffalo being, I think, the second highest pass rate offense in, like, neutral game scripts or whatever, Josh Allen should throw 35 times again in this game. The Bills have everything to play for. I just don't see how at least Stephon Diggs doesn't get his, especially after what we saw last week.
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic game. I think that Josh Allen is going to shred this secondary. Like you're talking about, man. They got nobody left. Like, the only starter they have left is going to match up with Gabe Davis, who he can absolutely ransack this dude. 64 targets, 42 catches allowed, 4 touchdowns, and a 117 passer rating in his coverage. I think that Josh Allen's going to have himself a day like you're talking about, Adam. I mean, like, you just look all the way down the board, and I don't know what warm body that they're going to possibly be able to stop Beasley. Even in the slot, like they got Will Parks playing the slot corner position right now. Busby's he's going to match up or at least try to match up with Stephon Diggs. And good luck there, man. Like, I love Josh Allen. The one contrarian thing about this game is that we're talking about the passing game for Buffalo. Both of these run defenses, like, I get your homerisms, but even you will admit. The Buffalo Bills have been terrible versus
the
run.
You beat them. You beat them on the ground. The problem is, they're coming into form. But like as a Bills fan, I will say, like I've been overanalyzing this game because it's so important. So I've been just kind of freaking out about it. That's the one way Denver's going to have success, is that power running game with Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay, who are both questionable for what it's worth, but they're both expected to play. Like, that is where I think Denver can win this game.
I agree with you, man. And since week seven, these two teams are at the bottom basement. Like, they're hugging up next to each other. Denver is 32nd in explosive run rate allowed. Buffalo is 31st. So I think that targeting, and these are two split backfields, and you're looking at, like, this two-gamer right now, and where ownership goes and how popular, obviously, other running backs in the next game are going to be. I think Melvin Gordon is a great, great option. Same. On this slate. I mean, like, I love him, man, because the thing about it is that on paper, you look at rush attempts, and you're like, oh, he's kind of a split backfield. But Gordon is the one getting the money touches, dude. Like, he's gotten, since week 12, he's outrushed Phillip Lindsay. Like, it looks close on paper because he's got 40 rushes versus Lindsay's 34. But if you look at the red zone, Gordon's got 5 red zone rushes compared to Lindsay's 1, and he's out-targeted him 5-3. I think Gordon is in a fantastic spot. I think he can crush. If he gets 20 carries in this game, he is grossly mispriced at 5,200 over on DraftKings for this two-gamer. I love him, man, and if you were going to play Showdown for this, I think he's a fantastic captain. If you wanted to stack up the Buffalo passing attack under him, I love that approach, because I can build you a case for Gabe Davis, for Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs, just stack them all up with Josh Allen. I think if you wanted to play the two-gamer and go Allen and just do a full-on game stack, I think that this is a game, because I think all the ownership is going to go to the other game. And this game has some sneaky potential here, because we've been giving a lot of love to Buffalo passing. Tim Patrick has been the dude. Like, he has
I definitely want to talk about him, so I'm glad you brought him up.
Dude, he has a 2-touchdown game in the last few weeks. He is playing the Cortland Sutton role in this offense. And I know I've picked on your boy. I've talked about Levi Wallace, but for good reason, man. He has shown over the last two games, he is who he thought he was, man. 18 targets, 11 receptions, 2 touchdowns allowed, and a 106 pass rating. His early season small sample stats are now bearing out that he is the dude who I've been telling everybody, this is who he is. So I love Tim Patrick in this game, because I think a lot of people are just going to automatically go to Noah Fant in this game and say, okay, Bills have not been covering tight ends. You and I both know that that is all because Matt Milano has been dealing with injuries all season long.
Matt Milano, the interesting thing with him is, so I brought up on the solo pod, I think it was a solo pod, that his snaps were up on Sunday night against Pittsburgh. He was up to like over 40% of the snaps. That might have also been because they play him a lot on third downs when he's limited. And the Steelers, I mean, they had so many third downs in that game. So that might have had a lot to do with the spike in snaps. But still, he's going to be playing more snaps, you would think, each week. And plus, Tremaine Edmonds has been playing better, too. I think the Bills should put Trey on Tim Patrick, because Levi is not physical enough. Josh Norman is you know, he's not a good corner at this point. And Trey is maybe the most physical corner in the NFL outside of Jalen Ramsey. Like, I think if I'm scheming against Denver right now, I'm more worried about Tim Patrick than Jerry Jeudy. So I don't know. I don't think Buffalo just says, all right, go follow Tim Patrick. I don't think he's that caliber of a receiver. But if I'm Buffalo, I try to get him on Tim Patrick the most I can. I don't think they're going to do that. So I think Tim Patrick is the guy to play here.
And that's exactly right, man. And if you're running multiple lineups on this two-gamer, like if you're playing 3-max, I think you hedge it, dude. Honestly, like, I think you run one lineup with Jeudy, you run one lineup with Tim Patrick, because Trey White's going to be on one of those guys, and the other guy's going to get Levi Wallace. And I know, dude, KJ Hamler's coming off. He had a fantastic game last week. I mean, he got in the end zone twice, 86 yards on only, and that's the thing. Because you have some people that go game log watching and they're like, ooh, KJ Hamler scored 22.6 points. And then it's like, dude, he got 3 freaking targets. What you talking about, Willis?
Taron Johnson, Buffalo slot corner. He gets targeted a lot, but again, that's because teams just don't throw to Trey White. He had a concussion in that Sunday night game. He was limited on Wednesday and I believe Thursday, so he has a good shot to play, but that's definitely something to keep an eye on if you're playing Showdown and you maybe want to look at KJ Hamler. Like, whoever is not lined up against Trey White is going to catch some passes in this game. We know that. Teams just don't throw to him. They throw to Levi Wallace. They throw to Josh Norman when he's in, and they throw to Taron Johnson in the slot.
Well, and the thing about it is, dude, I talked about the over-under. It's not that much different than the other game, yet I think that people are not going to want to target this game. And honestly, I love this game. I think there could be a ton of points. Like, I will not be surprised, Adam. Like, could you see this game easily hitting the over? Because I definitely can.
I mean, I think Buffalo is scoring 30 in this game, so that alone gives you that. And we'll talk about it. Like, it's hard right now to project anyone with a better fantasy game than Devontae Adams at wide receiver, but Stephon Diggs has to be right there in this spot. Like, the way he's playing and Denver's corners, it's just they have no shot. And I know Devontae Adams is like, you just pencil him in for 80 and a touchdown every week, and then whatever he gets else is gravy. But I'm if he's going to be like way less popular, then I just don't see how they could. Like, that's why I'm so confident that the Bills win this game. I don't know how they stop their passing attack with their corners. And it's like Justin Simmons is good, but he hasn't been as good this year. And Kareem Jackson's not a coverage corner. He's a, you know, go downhill and hit somebody in the running game safety. So that's why I just think you play Josh Allen and you play Diggs and Beasley. And if you want to sprinkle in Gabriel Davis, feel free, because he's getting end zone targets like it's nothing. He has like 6 touchdowns. He leads his team in touchdown receptions. So there's plenty of equity there. Probably won't go to the Bills running backs.
I just can't, dude.
They're throwing the ball 35 times a game. And it's Brian Daboll, man. Like, the best matchup for them is to throw the ball against these corners, and Brian Daboll is going to see that working, and he's going to throw it all game.
I agree. Like, I think that we're looking at split backfields, and basically, like, outside of not Carolina, every one of these other teams has a split backfield. You know, and I think, like, if you wanted to even lean in, and I think this is another way that you could get contrarian on this. Like, if you were to tell me you wanted to play Melvin Gordon and Lindsay, because both of them have breakaway ability, and what does that do as far as salary? Does that open up the rest of the field for you? Because Lindsay's at 4K, Melvin Gordon's only at 5,200. If you wanted to get in some other studs and you wanted to play both of these Broncos running backs, I'm not against that, because, look, on a two-gamer, you got to get weird, dude. You got to get weird with your builds and as many studs as you could possibly get in. If that helps you on a 2v2 get up to another stud over that, I'm not against that. So I really like this game. I think it could hit the over. I love where DK priced. Looking at the receiving options for Denver, I love what they did with the prices here. Like, Tim Patrick is 4,200. Then you have KJ Hamler is sitting right there. I mean, look, like, all of these guys are priced so close. Like, KJ Hamler's at 3,500. Jerry Jeudy's at 3,900. I mean, Adam, tell me this. Do you think that all three of those wide receivers come in lower own than Noah Fant at 3,800? Like, I think they're all pivots off of Noah Fant.
I think...
Or even Lindsay as well.
I think Patrick could be close.
Okay.
But yeah, Noah Fant worries me a little bit, just because Milano's back and Edmonds has been playing so much better, and Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde are still...
anything though, Adam. Like, he hasn't done...
Right, that too.
Anything. Like, literally... We keep, like, talking about Noah Fant as a possible play. This is legit what this dude has done all season long. 9 points, 2 points, 9 points, 4, 7, 11, 6, 8, 9. You have to go all the way back to freaking week 2 where he scored above 11 freaking points. Like, that's just not going to get it done, man. Like, I'm not playing Noah Fant on a two-gamer considering all of the reasons that we're talking about.
Yeah, and it's not even just Matt Milano. Like, bias aside, I think Buffalo has the best safety duo in the NFL. They're both really good in Poyer and Hyde. So it's not the matchup that people think it is. Like, I know the numbers say that Buffalo struggled against tight ends, but that was a couple huge games to Mike Gesicki and when they were without Edmonds and Milano. It's just they're a totally different defense right now. Like, they have returned to being a top 10 defense in the NFL with the way they're playing right now.
Remind me, who did Gesicki catch one of those touchdowns against? I forget.
I mean, good for him. He's like 7 inches taller than Trey White. Great job, pal. What is that? His first touchdown he's allowed in like 48 games. Good job, man. Good job.
I had to bring it up just to hear the tilt.
Listen, man, after watching Trey not give up a touchdown all year in coverage last year, you know I was tracking until he gave one up this year, and I think that was the first one he gave up was just Gesicki in week three, I think it was. So, but yeah, Trey's back to being the stud that he's always been.
Yeah, dude, he's playing great football right now. All right, man, let's move on. We've talked enough about this game. Carolina is heading to play the Cheeseheads in Green Bay. The over-under is set at 51.5. Green Bay is favored by 8.5. I mean, can we just say, like, everybody and their mama is going to want to play Mike Davis? I mean, CMC is probably not going to play in this game. Yep. He's looking doubtful. Everybody's going to want to play Mike Davis. Everybody's going to want to play Aaron Jones. I mean, is there any way that you can get off of playing those two guys?
I mean, it's just, there's like, it's if you play Melvin Gordon, who I think is a viable pivot. I think that's the only way you do it. I really do think that. So, if, like, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams is getting 8 to 10 carries a game. And we see, like, if Aaron Jones doesn't score a touchdown, he's kind of bad in fantasy, especially with Jamal Williams active and playing third down snaps. And with Devontae Adams obviously getting his every single week. So, like if Melvin Gordon scores in against Buffalo and Aaron Jones doesn't against Carolina, like, Melvin Gordon is probably going to be better. Like, yeah, it's just Jones isn't playing that 75% snap share. I know Melvin Gordon isn't either, obviously, but Mike Davis, it's weird. We're in week 15, you know, but Mike Davis on this two-game slate is clearly the safest running back in terms of projections for total touches and opportunities and everything like that. And we know Green Bay just lets you run the ball against them. They let you. They literally let you.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's the Mike Patine show, man. It's a staple. Like, he just lets you run every single freaking week. He does not care. The one thing about it is Green Bay has been they've not been allowing a lot of explosive runs over the whole season. It really comes down to they're allowing a lot of touchdowns. And the other thing about it is Green Bay has been terrible versus pass-catching running backs. Like, they've allowed the most receiving yards and second most receiving touchdowns with 660 and then 5 touchdowns through the air for running backs. So if there's one running back on this entire two-game slate that I think that I will be overweight, if I'm going to tell you to, and I don't ever usually say this, but if I'm telling you to lock somebody in on a freaking two-gamer, it's Mike Davis, dude. Like, his role, his snap share, the fact that he is not contesting with goal line carries and stuff. And yes, I all the Curtis Samuel truthers, I get you. I got you. Okay? But Mike Davis is still going to be the dude. It's a fantastic matchup. I think if Carolina wants a real chance to take down Green Bay, they're going to feed Davis in this. They're going to try to play a little bit slower. I mean, put it this way, Adam. If Mike Davis is not a lock for you, like, can we say, like, if you're running multiple lineups, you're going to play him, what, 70, 75% of your lineups? If that?
Yeah.
If not more?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's really, like, hard not to.
I love it, man. I don't see how you get away from it, man. Like, because I could poke holes in every one of these other running backs. Even Aaron Jones on this two-game slate, Mike Davis is the dude. He's going to get all the freaking work. And I get Roddy has been factoring into the backfield and stuff like that. Davis is still getting the money touches, so I love him here. Tell me this. Is there any way that you could play Teddy on this two-gamer? I mean, obviously, Rodgers and Allen are the big, the guys that we're all the ownership is going to. I know we didn't bring up Drew Lock, but if you're not going to play Allen or Rodgers, like, can you play one of these other quarterbacks, Teddy included, in this spot? Or is it just like, nah, screw it, I'll eat the chalk with the Allen and Rodgers, and I'll be different other places?
It's just like, if all four of these quarterbacks hit their ceilings, like, Bridgewater and Lock are still so far behind Rodgers and Allen, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to play one of the two, it's going to be Teddy, because they're going to be underdogs. He gets DJ Moore back. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know how you make a case for him. Speaking of DJ Moore, though, he's back. He's expected to be back, at least. He's practicing in full. He probably is the best matchup for this spot. He's going to be lined up against Kevin King, and we talked about Kevin King and these smaller, shiftier receivers. And this seems like a spot where DJ Moore can win with speed.
Dude, DJ Moore can burn his ass.
Exactly.
Like, he can absolutely eat him up. I love, Love that call, because when I went over to FTN Daily and I looked at the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool and I peer at it, I'm like, DJ Moore is gonna get he's gonna get Kevin King. Let's go, man. I think DJ Moore can absolutely take his lunch money. He can eat his lunch in this game. I'm here for that all day.
I just hope Teddy throws it to him. Like, it's so many times where I play DJ Moore and it's seven slants in a row to Robbie Anderson.
Is he going to throw it to Robbie, who's going to see a ton of Jair? Right. I don't think that's going to happen, man.
Right. So, DJ Moore is definitely my favorite receiver in this game, outside of obviously 17. The GOAT. I think Curtis Samuel is like a really interesting X factor on this slate, because you mentioned how you have to get different, and playing Curtis Samuel isn't like out of left field on a two-game slate like this. Like, he's involved in the offense, but he also gets a couple carries and gets a lot of red zone work. So if like he scores the touchdowns and Mike Davis doesn't, you play Curtis Samuel, like, you could be at a huge advantage. I have some interest in Curtis Samuel, and then I'm not, you know, you don't play tight ends on, you don't play Ian Thomas because he doesn't catch passes. And I mean, yeah. Do we have to say anything about Rodgers and Adams? I mean, it's a day ending, and you can play them. You probably should play them.
Yes, I'm not gonna even talk about that. Like, there is not Carolina does not have a corner on their roster that even if they all like.
Does anybody have a cornerback on their roster?
No. The NFL could combine all their corners and form Voltron and put him up against freaking Davante Adams, and he's still not going to stop Davante Adams. Like, he's still going to go for 100 and a score. That's going to happen. So, I mean, Davante Adams is about as close to a damn lock as you could possibly get. I can't even imagine making a lineup without Davante Adams on this two-gamer. I mean, if you do, dear God, I pray for you, sir, or ma'am. I pray for you. I send you my condolences. I apologize for all of your losses, because I love Adams. There's no way you can get away from him in this spot. If you don't want to play Rodgers and you want to go down to Josh Allen, that's fine. You're still going to play freaking Davante Adams. On the secondary pass options, I'm not that in love with Alan Lazard. They've talked about they're going to limit his snaps. Mm-hmm. His role is kind of capped, dude. If I'm going to go with a secondary Green Bay pass catcher, I mean, first of all, like, this is not even saying Robert Tonyan's the only tight end that I'm probably going to play on this slate, because I'm not going Dawson Knox. I'm not going.
Dude, Dawson Knox can't catch the ball. Like,
no, it's so annoying. He does like something awesome where like he catch a screen, stiff arm five dudes.
Oh, he is very good once the ball's in his hand. He's very difficult to tackle.
Yeah, he'll make some fantastic play, and then he does something like a dumbass the next play. He either drops a pass, he fumbles, and then he doesn't get a target until like 2 minutes left in the freaking fourth quarter. So I don't have a lot of love, like I talked about with Fant. I'm not in on any Bills tight ends. We talked about Ian Thomas's. I mean, good luck. I mean, go through the game logs. If you can find where he's been awesome, good luck. You're going to have to go back to, like, last year. So I think Tonyan's obviously in play here. He's my favorite tight end on this two-gamer. But are you willing to play Lazard? Are you going to go with any MVS in this spot? Because, I mean, MVS is interesting, man. Like, we've seen ceiling. We know the role that he has in this offense. I think it just depends, like, will you play him?
I'll probably sprinkle him in some. I know Carolina plays a lot of zone. They don't like to give up the deep passing plays, so it's not the greatest spot for him. But do I feel better about him than the other receivers in that range, like Jerry Jeudy or Hamler, Gabriel Davis? Like, I think him and Davis are close. I'd probably lean Davis, but I don't think he's an awful option. It's, you know, it's not the matchup like it was last week against Detroit, but it's not like a one you have to just completely avoid.
Well, and we're talking about being different, man. So, like, if everybody's not signed up for FTN Daily, I mean, come on, man. Like, at this point, like, if you've been profitable this season without, like, all the fantastic tools and Kyle Murray's ownership percentages over at FTN Daily, kudos to you. But Kyle's projections are some of the best in the freaking industry. I'm really curious when we go head over there where the roster percentage is, because looking at pricing, man, I mean, I think that, like, if you look at this 48 to about 4,200 tier, can we say that, like, Curtis Samuel is probably going to gain some steam? Beasley's more likely to be played. Tim Patrick at 4,300 is going to be played over MBS. So I'm kind of curious if MBS is going to go overlooked or if people are like...
He will. Beasley's going to be the most popular of that group for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, he just came off like a smash game versus San Francisco. That it's not like he had a total dumpster fire game. I get he only scored 9 points versus Pittsburgh, but everybody's going to want to play Josh Allen. So Beasley's going to be popular for sure. I'm just really curious if we're going to see a divide between all three of those options versus MVS. And MVS has got a ceiling, man. Like, I get that, like, people watch this dude drop a ton of passes, but we've seen the ceiling repeatedly this year, Adam. Like, he has three games in his wheelhouse where he scored 19 or more points. He scored 20 points last week, 27 versus Jacksonville, and 19 in week one versus Minnesota. So, like, he's got it in his wheelhouse, man. He could be a good pivot off of those other three receivers like we're talking about. Just if there is a huge divide in ownership between those three guys versus MVS, I might have a decent amount of MVS this week.
I don't hate it. Especially, I don't think Lazard's going to all of a sudden be off the pitch count that he's been on either.
No, I don't disagree with that. And like we're talking about Tonyan, like, I mean, is he your easily, like, far away your favorite tight end play for the two games?
Yeah, it's Tonyan, big space, Fant, huge space, and then good luck. Like,
I was going to say, like, one.
I would play Croft if he's active and Dawson Knox over Ian Thomas, and they both split work. That's how bad Ian Thomas is.
I mean, Tonyan's been so damn good, dude. I mean, he's got four straight games with a touchdown. I think that he can make it five. Carolina has given up the fifth most receiving yards to the tight end position. It's been sneaky bad versus the tight end. We're talking about an attacking zone. The way you do that is with your running backs in the passing game. So, obviously, if I think Aaron Jones could get some work. You look at Carolina. Both them and Green Bay have been terrible versus pass catching backs. I mean, they're 28th in DVOA, the Packers are, and Carolina's 29th. So I like a lot of the different options of this game. Obviously, this game is going to get a lot of steam, rightfully so. We didn't talk about any Jamal Williams. Are you willing to go that route, or
I mean,
is it just like, nah?
I love Jamal Williams. I'm like the only person in the fantasy industry that likes Jamal Williams.
I like it. I've actually met him in person. Super
really?
Nice guy.
He seems so nice fun guy. To be around. I love Jamal Williams. But yeah, like you have to be pretty lucky if you play him because he's got a steal touchdown or something has to happen to Aaron Jones. Like, I don't think he's getting more than 12 touches. But that might be the same amount than Singletary.
I mean, it's true, dude. I mean, my whole thing is that, like, his game logs are not pretty, and like it's not that he has a massive red zone role or like you could pencil him in for a touchdown and stuff. I mean, even his target shares, I'm more likely to just not get cute there. I mean, I think it's egregious the fact that Jamal Williams is 4,800, and I get what DK's doing. Like, if Aaron Jones got ruled out, blah, 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 they can't have Jamal Williams sitting at, like, sub-4 or whatever, but the fact that Jamal Williams is 4,800 and Melvin Gordon is staring at you at 5,200 is absolute insanity to me. Like, I don't know why or how DK, like, just drunk. Like, it's absolutely drunk where Melvin Gordon is priced on this two-gamer. He should absolutely be in the 6K range, if not a little bit higher. Like, 6'5 feels about right for him. So, I mean, I think it's crazy that he's so closely priced to Jamal Williams, and it's not even a close decision point for me. Like, I would even save, like we're talking about, I would even save the 800 and go down and play Phillip Lindsay over Jamal Adams. I was just curious if you were considering, with the high total and things of that nature, like if you'd be willing to roster some Jamal Williams. All right, everyone, that is the two-gamer for Saturday. You need to head over, check out the game-by-game episode for the DFS Breakdown. Adam and I are going to roll through all the main slate. So check that out. It's going to be absolute fire, as always. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.